I would like for you to turn with me to Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. Now, the first thing that you're saying, seated there in your hearts or minds, is Leviticus. How many of you have done been to a study on Leviticus? One. If they told me they were going to have a study on Leviticus, I'd say, yeah, y'all go ahead. Because Leviticus is a book that's written, unless you know what you're getting ready to get into, it can be a very boring book. But I believe it has a message for us this morning. Look at Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, and we're going to be reading, and I'm not sure which. I'll just read it from up here because I got a different translation. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." There were many reasons why they had the book of Leviticus, many reasons why they had the Levitical code, because number one, if the children of Israel were to survive, they had to have a certain lifestyle that prevented them from being overcome by the diseases, the sicknesses, and everything else in those countries. The Levitical code was to keep them healthy, both in body, mind, spirit, and soul. Now, I want you to understand that God said you are to go into these lands. You came from Egypt. You're going into Canaan. You're going into Canaan. Go into Canaan. Go and work where I send you. Go and be with the people. This is what you're called to do. But don't be like them. Be there with the people, but not of the people. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to make them your friends. You are, but you're not to be like them. You're to be like I've called you to be. You're to follow my commands, and you're to follow with me. This past week, there was a lot of things that went on that made me sick on my stomach, and yet it's done and over, and I'm sort of glad. But part of what I felt like has come to our country and has come to America, what Mike said is close to where I was going this morning. I feel like there's a chaos in our country, and it's based on something I want to talk about this morning, and the cure. Narcissism. We're a narcissist society. Everybody is right. And anybody who doesn't go along with you, you're going to get them. I'll take you down. I'll find somebody in your kindergarten that will say you did something so I can take you down. What kind of people have we become in our society that we have come to that point? I say we're narcissistic. Now, how many of you know what narcissistic is? You know where it comes from. In the Greek myth, there was a man called Narcissus. And he would look into a pool of water and he fell in love with himself. And he began to think he was right about everything, and everything that he was perfect. And everybody else was the messed up. Everybody else was the problem. I want you to understand that I believe we have become a culture where everybody's right means everybody else is wrong. What is wrong with that? even, as you said, Christians walking around with this pride as if they've acquired the truth and everybody else is evil. We're not supposed to do that. What kind of Christianity is that? What kind of belief system is that? I believe the reason that I read Leviticus was this. We're supposed to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be a part of this stuff going on in America right now. Christians should not reflect what's going on in America right now. They should, quite frankly, be above that, walking in Christ Jesus our Lord in love and compassion, forgiveness. This whole condemning attitude comes from a narcissistic heart. And yet they'll sit there and go, well, I'm right. No, you're not right. Your heart is not right. Because I have a belief that is right, if I have the wrong attitude towards people who don't have that same belief, then that right has become my wrong. It's become evil. How do you make right evil? Because of how you apply it. I want to take you to another scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And some of you might, this is actually the text that I was going to preach from and had earlier in the week. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Some of you read that before. Some of you can even quote it. I had the, I give my kids scripture memory, and one day I said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And they went, yes, we know that one. So most of you have heard this, most of you read it, but I want us to think about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. There's a lot of stuff in there. Whenever I become the center of my attention, whenever I become the center of my world, then I become void and dark in my perceptions. Whenever I become right and everybody else becomes wrong, I become void and dark in my life. I believe that this text has something to say to us about our walk, our individual lives. Because God, by the way, have any of you ever been to an art museum and seen any Picassos? Okay. You can pick them out, can't you? You can look up and say, ooh, this is a Picasso. And you don't have to see the name. You know, this is a Picasso because Picasso painted a certain way, right? He painted a style. You can know it. And the same is about God. God does it this way because this is how God does it. So God did this way in the creation of the world, in the putting of order and light into the world. And if he wants to put order and light in our society or in your life or in my life, it's done the same way. So we're going to use this text because God operates pretty much the same as the same artist that was in the beginning. He's still the same today. Now, how does he do it? First of all, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the void and the darkness. Before a man can change, have his heart changed, the Holy Spirit has got to begin to work. No one just all of a sudden someday stands up and said, oh, that bumper sticker says that I'm supposed to live in peace. I'm going to start living in peace. Apparently some people think that because their whole back of their car full of those dumb bumper stickers.
a bumper sticker or somebody coming on and saying something, or even, hear me, even these little training sessions that some of our businesses make us go to, what are they called? I've forgotten the name of them. Effective understanding, you know what that's for? That's to tell you what their rules are and you better go by them. It's not to try to get you to change your heart, because your heart's not going to be changed by some little course that you take. It begins with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God must hover over us, and it does hover over us. But hear me, until that Holy Spirit begins to reach down and touch our hearts, we are not ready for God. Nor are we ready for a change, nor are we ready to let the void and the darkness in us be changed into light. So it begins with the Holy Spirit. Man without God is formless and void and lives in darkness. A society that has decided we don't need God. A society that's decided in our educational systems we don't teach God. In our society where we don't teach our kids in our homes anymore about the living God, there is a form of void, formlessness and a void in those homes, in that school, and thus in society. How do you not have a society that's void and formless if you don't even have God in your schools?
I had a boy come yesterday. We had a fair at the school yesterday afternoon. And he's moved on to another school. He came to me and he said, "Mr. Zedek, I miss your classes." I said, "Well, that's good." He says, "Because at my school, we don't have any Bible classes." I said, "Well, you don't have a good school then, do you?" He laughed. He says, "No, because you think the best class in the school is the Bible study." I said, "Absolutely." I said, "This school would be junk if it didn't have Bible study, because we're not putting the authority where it needs to be." So how can we expect anything better from our society than what we have, based on the fact that we have ripped God from our schools? I love for people to tell me, "Mr. Zedek, as long as there are tests, there's going to be prayer in schools." I want to look at them and say, "What planet did you come from?" The type of prayers where kids pray before a test is a self-centered, "I want to make 100 on this one." It has nothing to do with understanding what prayer is or what God is or anything about God. But I am telling you, I'm proud of the bold students in many of our schools who are having prayer early in the morning at the flagpole and other things, Bible clubs that they're creating and all. I'm proud because they're going against the current. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. But I want to say this. First of all, it has to begin with the Spirit of God. In Ecclesiastes 1:14, it says this: "I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the Spirit," or it vexes the Spirit. What? All the good stuff? Listen, there were a lot of benevolent programs going on back then. There were a lot of wonderful charities created back then. But Ecclesiastes 1:14 says, "I've seen all the works that are done under heaven, and behold, all is vanity, vexation of the Spirit." All of them. Why is it vanity? Because the reason they have those is so that they can get glory to themselves. It's narcissistic. Why do people put on these, a lot of times, have these benevolent programs? It's so I can get glory out of it. I can put my name on it and say it's mine. I believe that the chaos we see in our society today is because man has become completely controlled by a spirit of narcissism, a spirit of "I'm right, everybody else is wrong." And it has infected the Christian world. It has infected Christians to the point that they walk around with a bigoted attitude towards people that differ from them. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to take you down. That's not a Christian. That's not Christian. Don't call yourself. Please, don't call yourself a Christian. The only cure for this is the light of God. And when the light shines in the darkness, then our lives are changed. I could go and list for you thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You listed two today, of people in our congregations and in our nation that God has brought the light, and it has radically changed them. I went and there was a young lady, and I was so changed by that. I mean, I went to see my daughter in Connecticut and this summer, and when I was there, we went to her church, and they had a speaker there, and actually, it was the previous time I went to see her. But anyway, while we were there, they had a speaker, and she was a former LGBT, what are the letters? But she was from that community. From the time she was a child, she said she had struggled with her sexual identity, and she thought she was a guy. And she really fought it. And she said, I'm telling you, Christians, I wasn't imagining it. I really fought it. And so I'm sitting there going, you know, this lady's being honest. She's not making this stuff up. This is not a struggle, a struggle that was not real. But she said that because people loved me in spite of that were Christians, I listened to them. And they led me to Christ. And it was in the process of coming to Christ, I became proud that I was a woman. Up until that point, there was nothing about being female that appealed to me. But she said, whenever I came to Christ, and it's her book, and she's got a book, and she's got a website. It's called Coming Out of Egypt. Okay? Being freed from bondage. God can do a great job of bringing light into the darkness. He can make order in the middle of formless voidness. Do some of you have already said you've got a tough place to work? Would you consider that maybe a bit of chaos and almost voidness? Is there like stuff is missing there in some people's lives? You see, this is what God specializes in. He takes that's dark and formless and void, and he changes it with a purpose and light. But it begins with the Holy Spirit. We can't talk them into it. We can't shame them into it. That's not our call. We're called to love them. We're called to speak to them. We're called to help them. And in the midst of that, God's Holy Spirit can begin to work. It's hovering over them, ready to do the work. But the second thing, part of that that's really important, is not only does the Holy Spirit do the work, but it comes when God speaks. God has to speak. And he speaks through his word. He might speak through something you say, but it comes through words. It actually comes through words. There is no one that's ever been led to Jesus that did not hear a word from God. Never. You don't just all of a sudden come to God. The Holy Spirit works on your heart and opens it up, and the Word of God touches your soul. And at that point, when that happens, then people begin to move towards God. I want you to know that it might come from God himself. By the way, one of the great things that's happening in the Middle East that's amazing, tens of thousands, and Ravi Zacharias has talked about this, tens of thousands are coming to the Lord, but they're not coming because there is such an oppressive,
umbrella there that you can't break through and you're not supposed to talk about in certain countries. He's coming through visions and God is speaking to them directly. His word. God will make sure it's done no matter what man sets up. God's will come and make void order when his light comes. The Holy Spirit initiates the regeneration of man because the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is not just going to come to God on its own. The Holy Spirit's going to move, and then the Holy Spirit's going to convict through the Word of God that will come and begin to transform that person's life. Now, I want to say this, and I made mention of this several times this morning, so I want you to understand this. The greatest testimony we can give people that are living a life of formlessness and darkness and void is our love. But until a word is spoken from God, they will not take the step to God. At some point, it's either going to be led, God's going to lead us, or God's going to say, leave a testimony with them. That's why we have these. Or leave us verses, scripture. God's word has to touch them. At the point God's word touches them, they begin to change. The light comes. And once the light comes, it's separated from the darkness. It says in here, he separates the light from the darkness. Now, what do we mean by that in the closing part of the scripture? Whenever the light comes to someone, the person has to make a decision. Am I going to stand in the light or am I going to stand in the darkness? I can't stand it with one foot in both. God separates men from their evil deeds. Or men decide, I am not going to the light. I'm going to stay in the darkness. But there comes a separation. Whenever the light of God comes, there is a separation. You and I live in a world, and I want to close with this, because I've talked about the people out there that are formless and void, but I want to talk about Christians now. Do you understand that we are under great oppression? We are under great influence where we work and where we live with this narcissistic society that we're in that wants to peg us and put us in a place and wants to drag us down and wants to, influence our lives and is influencing our lives whether you know it or not. You cannot watch all the movies you watch and all the TV you watch and all the Facebook you look at and look at all the different YouTubes. You cannot look at all of that and it not influence you. That's why I said last Sunday, you need to have spiritual rhythm. You need to constantly be putting yourself before God and letting the Spirit, because only then will He right the ship. Because we are being drawn into darkness. We are being drawn into, a lot of it makes good sense. Listen, people say, well, this and this, and you're going, well, that is true. The logic of the world is very logical at times, but it is not God's logic. And you need to understand that we as a people need to stand in God's word and not in the logic of this world. We need to follow Him. And Christians, I encourage you through this month of preparation for our spiritual awakening to understand that this is a time when I believe God is saying to you, come out from them. Not that you don't have friendships of people that are formless and void, but come out. Don't stand in their ways. Be separate, but yet with them. Love them, care for them, but do not stand with them in their ways. And you can do that. As a matter of fact, that's what we're called to do. We're not called to come to our castles and hide from the world. We're called to go ye therefore into the world. Now, I encourage you as Christians to keep a spiritual rhythm, to keep close to the Spirit of God, to let the Spirit of God work in you this month, that when we get to the weekend, the spiritual awakening weekend that we've talked about all morning, that God will be able to do his great work. But if we're not preparing, it's going to be a struggle to get into the weekend. Prepare yourself. Let God lead you. Let him call you out. Let him separate the light from the darkness in your life. And then when you walk in the darkness, they will see the light. Let us pray. Father, one of the hardest things that we have is the influence of those around us. And even some of our bosses and our leaders and our managers are full of darkness and void. And I pray and ask you, Father, that your order and light would be seen in us and that we might just show them God's love. And when it's appropriate, allow us to speak your word that they might come to the light and we might walk in love. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.